You're listening to a podcast from Jubilee Church, Farnham. To find out more, visit www.jubilee.church.
G'day everyone, my name's Rick, and it's good to be with you again this week. And I hope you caught my backstory to a Psalm 51 that I gave on the live stream on Sunday morning. It's so helpful in understanding this psalm and all that went behind it, the backstory to this psalm. So if you didn't catch it, why don't you pause the sermon now, jump over to the Jubilee Church Farnham website, and you could watch that live stream and ensure you get the backstory. So you come to Psalm 51 with all of its history and richness. So why don't you do that now and then come back? But for those who have watched the live stream and with that backstory in place, let's read the first 12 verses of Psalm 51 together. If you have your Bible, why don't you read along with me? Here we go, Psalm 51, and I'm reading from the New International Version. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight. So you are right in your verdict and justified when you judge. Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. You have desired faithfulness even from the womb. You taught me wisdom in the secret place. Cleanse me with hyssop and I will be clean. Wash me and I will be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquity. Verse 10. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast your presence away from me or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. What a prayer, what a poem, and what a backstory. And given that backstory, all that David had done up until this point, what I find so encouraging and in a way intriguing is the way that David starts his prayer. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions. David had committed murder, committed adultery, failed every notion of kingly rule and responsibility, and put his army at risk to manipulate and deceive and to do his bidding. Yet David approaches God not according to what he has done, but rather according to God's unfailing love. Not according to David's transgressions, but according to God's great compassion. But let's be clear here. This is not a sweeping under the carpet of what David had done. In verse 3, David says, I know my transgressions. I know my sin. It is always before me. This was not some sort of forced acknowledgement of what was done in the sense that David had been caught out and had been put out there and he'd really been forced to acknowledge. No, it's not that at all. Rather, he knows his sin. He knows them only too well. They are before him all the time because he finally saw them in their true light. David took responsibility for his sin. He acknowledged them. He repented of them, turned away from them, and turned to the only one who could save him and cleanse him. David knew the nature and character of God. David's approach to God was not based on the fact that he was the king And in that sense, the chosen one of Israel, the anointed one. No, none of those things. The basis of David's approach to God was entirely on the nature and character of God, on his unfailing love, or the Bible in other translations says his loving kindness, God's loving kindness. What a powerful word for us today. No matter what you have done. And let's remember all that David had done. We can approach God because he is faithful, he is merciful, he is loving, and he is just. When we know our sin, when we acknowledge our sin, in that moment, we have someone to turn to. That moment, which is often hard and painful, and we stumble and fall even getting to that moment. In that moment, when we know our sin to be sin, it doesn't have to be a moment of despair. It has the potential to be a moment of new beginning, of debt being cancelled and of freedom. Because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross for you and for me, the unfailing love and great compassion of God is available to you today. There is nothing we have done to deserve it or earn it. He has done it all, and you can receive that forgiveness in Jesus Christ today. Verse 5 and 6 also remind us that sin isn't just what we do, but more that sin is a part of who we are before we know Jesus. Verse 5 says this, "Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me." See, that's a timely reminder for us, especially if you've heard all of this backstory of David and everything that he did, and you have this little thought at the back of your head, perhaps, and it goes something like this. Well, I can understand that David needs forgiveness. I mean, look at all that he did. But me, well, I'm trying to be good. I'm a moral person. People tell me I'm kind of a nice person, and I certainly haven't done any of those things that David did. So this psalm and God's forgiveness is for someone else. I can see David really needs it, but I'm pretty good. You see, verse 5 just punches through that. Sin entered the human heart, and through this sinful nature, we are separated from God. From way back when, in the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve made that just tragic choice and they chose to believe the lies of the devil rather than the truth of God, sin then entered into the human heart. And from that point on, we are born separated from God. Before we receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, we are separated from God fundamentally through who we are, sinners, and then confirmed by what we do. We sin. So all of us are sinners in need of a Savior, and that is exactly who Jesus Christ is. See, verse 7 to 9 is another cry from David for forgiveness and cleansing. "Wash me," he says, "and make me whiter than snow." It's a cleaning that only God can deliver. And whether it's the first time you've asked Jesus for forgiveness and to be Lord of your life, or perhaps you're already a Christian, but you're burdened by some sin, and either one can approach God through Jesus Christ today and have your sins washed clean and your life be put on the path of the righteous. If that is you, take a moment now, pause this sermon and pray, asking God to forgive you in the name of Jesus. As David said, he knew his sin. Know your sin for what it is today. Turn from it and approach Jesus today asking for forgiveness. He will have mercy on you and forgive you and set his loving kindness upon you. And this all leads us then to the center of the psalm, verses 10 through 12. Let me read it again. Starting in verse 10, create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of my salvation and grant a willing spirit to sustain me. And this is where I want to spend the rest of our time together today. It speaks to a transformation after our reconciliation with God. After that time where we've been separated from God, we then come together through Jesus Christ and the transformation begins. It speaks to new beginnings. It speaks to new hopes and to new loves. And it couldn't be more relevant to today and the context we find ourselves in. Create, renew, and restore. Create in me a pure heart, O God. This was David's cry in Psalm 51. But why is that relevant to you and me today? Well, I think these last 6 months have revealed aspects of our heart in a way that we haven't known before. Last Sunday evening at our first communion and prayer service, Haley felt that God had spoken to her about one aspect of what he wanted to do in us through this season. We were all sitting there in the hall with our masks on, and in many ways, we were all longing for a time when the pandemic was over and we could be together with our masks off. Haley believed the Lord was saying that actually, even before the pandemic, we used to come together with masks on. Not visible masks in the same way as we wear them now, but masks nonetheless. Masks that presented a certain image or perception rather than the reality of our lives. Masks that covered up the wounds and the scars and the nasty bits of our hearts. These are heart issues, and they've been coming out over these past months. Perhaps for some of it's realizing that without the rhythm of Sunday morning meetings, your relationships with people and with God has drifted. It's made you ask the question as to whether your relationships with others and with God are becoming or have become dependent, and not in a good way, on that rhythm, and particularly on Sundays. These are hard moments, aren't they? Or perhaps for you, it's not so much pandemic related, but more like David in this psalm, you've been ensnared by sin, and over these lockdown months, it's actually got worse. But today you are beginning to acknowledge your sin. Even as I preach this sermon, you are beginning to know your sin for what it is. Perhaps this time has shown some of us how much we are shaped by the idol of self, which our culture sells over every moment of the day. That can come through a sense of personal preference. I don't like Zoom. I don't like online, I don't like masks, or whatever else it may be for you. And that personal preference begins to trump our continuing to meet together, continuing to study the scriptures together, continuing to live a life that lays down our preferences for the benefits of others, and continuing to encourage one another in the Lord. That can be a hard moment, a revealing moment. And I believe the Lord is using this time to help us position ourselves and prepare for the season to come. Adrian also had a sense last Sunday evening that all was being stripped away and we were being called into the heart of worship. And this is so true. He is preparing us through creating an ever deeper longing for certain things. There are things that we cannot do now that I am longing to do again once this pandemic is over. Being face to face, sharing the Lord's Supper without being 2 meters apart, hugs, handshakes, congregational sung worship, seeing and experiencing the Holy Spirit working through each one of us as we gather together to worship, preaching to a live audience, eating meals together. Things that are so important to doing life together as members of God's family and as the church. It's really shown me the importance of the physicality of our faith. Romans 12 verse 2 has a whole new sense for me. It says this, "Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship." He is also preparing us by highlighting certain things that have had to be laid down in this time that he doesn't want us to pick up again. Some of the things that we used to do perhaps need to be left in the past. Had our services become too static? Had we lost something of the wonder of the priesthood of all believers? Had we somehow got ourselves into a position where we would be awfully pleased if the Holy Spirit could turn up at this time and in this way, but really rather not in those other ways, if it's all the same to you, Lord? Had we slipped into the entertainment paradigm of our culture, which allows us to turn up, be entertained without too much participation and go home? Perhaps I'm being too harsh. Sean tells me that is my tendency. But if any of these things have inadvertently slipped in, even just a little bit, then I don't want to pick them up again. And I know the Lord doesn't want us to pick them up again. This moment is an opportunity to position ourselves and prepare for the season that is coming. These are heart issues. We position ourselves in the same way David did. David cried out to the Lord to create in him a new heart. In the season of positioning, to be face to face with God, this must be our cry as well. You see, David's request for God to create in him a new heart is also a recognition that he needed to change, that I need to change. Our tendency is all too often to blame others or blame our circumstances when things go wrong. But here, David recognized, Lord, I'm the problem here. Change me. Change my heart. Do the thing that I cannot do for myself. And so too with us. Position yourself for intimacy with God. This word create that David used when he says, create in me a new heart. It's a unique word in the Old Testament in so much as that every instance that this word is used, God is the subject. God is the one doing the creating. God is the actor. See, only God can make the internal changes that David needed. Yes, it was David's responsibility, as it is ours, to plead with God for these changes. But only God has the ability to effect the change. Position yourself for God to work and create a new heart in you. Lord, create a pure and clean heart in me. Change me. Make my heart new. Cut away all that distracts and diverts, and make my heart, what the Bible uses when it says heart, is really our innermost being, our essence, the thing that makes us us. Make that our hearts, utterly focused on God the Father, utterly captivated and in love with Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and to be continually filled with the presence and power of the Holy Spirit. Create in me a pure heart, O Lord. Will you pray that with me this morning? Now, Lord, renew. As you have created a new heart in us, renew our spirit. Give us a steadfast spirit. As New Testament believers and viewing this psalm through the lens of Christ, we get a sense here of our spirits being renewed to be totally devoted to God, to His Son Jesus, to His Spirit, and to the kingdom. Lord, renew our spirit today. For David, as perhaps for some of us, his fear was that because of his sin, God would remove his presence from him. Verse 11 says, "Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me." David pleads with God not to remove his presence or his Holy Spirit from him. In this season, let us position ourselves to continually receive from the Holy Spirit. In John 15, verse 5, Jesus tells us that He is the vine and we are to abide in Him. Without Him, that scripture says we can do nothing. Dear friends, let's continually be face to face with Jesus, doing all things in the power of the Holy Spirit. Acknowledging our weaknesses, but declaring at the same time where our power comes from. The beauty of this prayer is that it can happen at any time, in any place. Much of our lives in this season are being stripped away or restricted and disrupted in this time. Our position before Christ does not need to be one of those things disrupted. Create, renew, and lastly, restore. Verse 12 says this, "Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me." It's important to see the flow of the scripture here. A newly created heart, an act that only God can do, a renewing of our spirit and an ongoing daily encounter with the presence and the Spirit of God leads to a restoring of joy for all that God has done for us in Christ Jesus. This is all of it is a work of God and not our own. God creates, renews, and restores. Our role is to position ourselves to receive and live as prompted and empowered by the Holy Spirit. One thing I most certainly want to leave in the past is any inkling of a joyless Christianity. I can think a little worse than a faith, a life, a passion, a love that has lost its joy. When this happens, life becomes obligation. Obligation begins to weigh heavily, and heavy weights begin to turn living bodies into dry bones. Life in relationship with God the Father, where we are forgiven and made right with God, should never be a cemetery of dry bones. Now, anyone who's been a Christian for some time can speak of those seasons of being in the valley of dry bones. Perhaps you're in one now, feeling distant and dry and detached. But God walks us through those seasons, through those valleys, and guides us to green pastures and flowing waters. You see, in our Western cultural moment, have we lost the way of the cross and replaced it with the way of the self? Have we evolved from the passionate followers of Christ we once remember, perhaps in our youth or some time ago, where we laid down everything for Him and replaced it with a life of comfort and entertainment? Have we somehow disconnected from the things of the Spirit, from the Holy Spirit himself, and now find the things of the Spirit hard, or perhaps even boring? See, these are not easy questions. They're not easy questions to ask, and they're even harder to answer. But in the answering, in the asking, and then in the answering, it's there that we find the Lord God who creates, renews, and restores. I believe that God has us on a journey of that sort right now. In his mighty love for us, in his unfailing love, in his great compassion towards us, he is fulfilling the promises of Romans 8, verse 28, where it says that he is working all things to the good of those who love him. He is shining the light of his Holy Spirit into our hearts to show us what needs to change and asking for that change. Because he cares for us, he loves us, and he is working all things for our good, even in this season of the pandemic. As our normal patterns and rhythms are stripped back and we cannot do what we had previously done before, let us position ourselves for God to create, renew, and restore our hearts and our lives. In this moment of pause on Sunday morning meetings and much of the busyness of life that we live with, let God create in us a pure and clean heart. Let God renew a steadfast spirit in us, and let God restore to us the joy of our salvation. The scriptures say we are called to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind. And we are called to love our neighbor as ourselves. We are called to be continually filled with the Holy Spirit. We are called to be joy bringers to our community. We are called to restore relationships. We are called to reconcile the divided. We are called to care for the poor, the vulnerable, and the weak. And we are called to bring the good news of the gospel to the lost. We are called to become daily more like Christ. We are called to restore the broken walls. We are called to a life that puts others first. We are called to partner with God to extend his kingdom and bring renewal to his creation. Psalm 51 shows us the way through the valley of the dry bones to the green pastures of life in the Spirit. This pandemic will come to an end, and it will be at that point that God's new season for you and for me and for Jubilee Church will begin to emerge fully. Let us position ourselves and prepare now, today, for that season which is to come. It begins with knowing our sin, allowing the Holy Spirit to shine a light on those areas that have perhaps decayed and need to be removed. It moves to repentance and crying out to God to create, renew, and restore. If that's you, if this word has resonated with you today, and you want to walk out of that valley of dry bones and into the green pastures that God has for you, please won't you stand, or perhaps even kneel, and let's pray together. Heavenly Father, have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love. According to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. Lord, take away from me all that needs to go and create a new heart in me. Lord, renew my spirit and help me always to be living this life in and through your Holy Spirit. finally, Lord, restore to me the joy of my salvation. Give me a delight in your word, a delight in your son, a delight in your spirit, and in this life that you have called me to. In Jesus' name, amen.